So let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 1 to 9. The title of my message today is The Fruits of Faith. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so everyone, if they're not a native speaker, hopefully will understand the passage clearly. This is what the writer to the Hebrews said as he closes the book of Hebrews. He says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. So this is my last message of 2019. We're going to go into a new year. So as we've finished all the series, this is just a one-off message. We haven't been going through the book of Hebrews. So I was trying to think of some sort of exhortation as we move forward into a new year. Well, the book of Hebrews was actually written to encourage Jewish believers to value the new covenant. Now, God had made a new covenant for the Jewish people through his son, Jesus Christ. And the writer explains in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the once and for all perfect sacrifice. The old covenant relied upon the continual sacrifices of animals to cover mankind's sin, but Jesus Christ was now God's way of providing atonement for mankind's sins. Well, some Jewish believers found it difficult to accept the grace and mercy of God in the new covenant. Now, a lot of people today find it very difficult to accept God's grace or even to think that they're born with a sinful nature and they need forgiving by a holy God. Well, under the old covenant, there were plenty of things that you had to obey and do in order to be acceptable in God's sight. There was obedience to the Ten Commandments, and there were the Jewish food laws and everything we find written in the first five books of the Bible. Well, of course, everybody failed in at least one of the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments was a way of showing mankind that however hard they tried, they couldn't measure up to God's standard of 100% holiness. However, the New Covenant was different. It was about believing by faith in what God has done through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. And when this was done in faith with pure motives, Jesus Christ would send his Holy Spirit to dwell in their hearts and lives in order to help them to achieve holiness of life that could not be achieved through their own efforts. We can read about that in John chapter 14. 25 to 31. And this was a much better covenant, but it did remove the need for priests and the sacrificial system and for Judaism as a religion. So it was quite difficult for Jewish people to move to the new covenant. It did not destroy the Jewish festivals or the promises that God made to his chosen people. It was just a better covenant that God had previously promised through his prophets. As if they were reading the scriptures and reading Jeremiah 31, 31 to 37, they would have read these words. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. And this covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord, for everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. It is the Lord who provides the sun to light the day, and the moon and the stars to light the night, and who stirs the sea into roaring waves. His name is the Lord of heaven's armies. And this is what the Lord says. Remember this. I am as likely to reject my people Israel as I am to abolish the laws of nature. That's very strong, isn't it? I'll read that again. This is what God says in his word. I am as likely to reject my people Israel as I am to abolish the laws of nature. Strong. This is what the Lord says. Just as the heavens cannot be measured and the foundations of the earth cannot be explored, so I will not consider casting them away for the evil they have done. I, the Lord, have spoken. Very strong prophecy in Jeremiah towards the Jewish people. Now, these verses are very convicting if you are a Christian believer and hold to what is termed replacement theology. Now, some of you don't know the meaning of this word, or about the worldwide effort by many Christians to replace the promises that God has made in the Old Testament to his chosen people. Now, basically, replacement theology is this. God has replaced the promises that he made to Abraham and his descendants, that's the nation, and they now apply to the church. That's what they teach. Now, that is all the born-again Christians in the world, and this means that God no longer has a purpose for the land of Israel or for his chosen people. This is a worldwide teaching that's been going on for many years. Just reading that verse in Jeremiah would be enough to convince me that this teaching is not correct. However, millions of people are persuaded to think differently. And as we move towards the second coming, it's going to get worse. So on the 19th of January, I start my last series at OIC, which is designed to educate you about the truth concerning the church in Israel. Has the church replaced Israel? What's the argument all about? Now, God has convicted me to do this series because not only is it something I have yet to teach here, but I think it's essential as we move nearer the second coming. So as we look forward to a new year, let us all be mindful of the new covenant of grace that God has for each one of us. Because we serve God because we love the grace that he's poured into our lives through Jesus. Okay? It's about a relationship with a holy God through Jesus. It's not about a set of rules to obey. Now, in the last chapter of Hebrews, the writer is reminding the readers about what the fruit of their faith should look like. Now, on a human level, fruit is a natural result of a good plant. Now, it doesn't matter if it's an apple tree or a mango tree. When there is very little fruit or no fruit in a tree or a plant, then there's something wrong with the plant or the tree. So if there's no fruit, there's something wrong. You see, good plants produce fruit without effort. It's just a natural result of a good plant. However, good plants need good soil. They need sunshine, they need rain, and they need some human management in pruning and care. That's the same in our Christian lives. The good soil represents our heart, And if our heart is not right with God, then there can be no fruit. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in our lives that produces the things that God desires for us in a new year, in 2020. So it's the Holy Spirit working in our lives that produces that fruit that God wants to see in our lives next year. So if the Holy Spirit is not in our hearts, then actually there can be no spiritual fruit. If you're not born again, there is no fruit. There may be lots of other good things that you can do and display, and you may be a good person, but these are not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Anybody can do these things without God's Holy Spirit. And there are some wonderful people in the world who do some wonderful things, very kind things, very charitable things, but these are not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For those who profess to be Christians and don't have God's Holy Spirit in their hearts, it's impossible to live the Christian life in the way that God intends it to be lived. You must be born again by God's Holy Spirit in order to display Christian fruit. Although it's not my message today, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is pointed out in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. It says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." Now, just an aside, it's not in the translation. It's not human love that the Holy Spirit produces, but it's supernatural love. That's different. It's not human joy, it's supernatural joy. So all these things are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit produces in our lives, but it's different from the human side of looking at these things. So as we look forward to 2020, I ask the question of myself, what fruit of the Holy Spirit should we grow in our lives with God's help this next year? So what are we looking to God, Holy Spirit, to help us grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives next year? Well, the writer is concerned to point out at the end of his very long book, at least nine things in the passage that I've read, that with God's help, we need to trust the Holy Spirit to be working on in our lives next year. So we're going to rattle through them very quickly. But these are the things that we could together trust God to do in our lives. The first one, in verse 1, it says, "Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters." 1 Corinthians 13 says this, verses 4 to 7, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every." Well, God's holy love is different from human love. You see, human love is influenced by our sinful nature. It does not require supernatural influence and ability. So human love does not require the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, it's easy to love a lovely person who appears to do nothing wrong, is very attractive and beautiful. It's easy to love people like that. However, when that person behaves badly towards us, it's not so easy to love them in a human way. In fact, it's very difficult and quite impossible, Christian or non-Christian. But we can love them in a supernatural way with the help of God's Holy Spirit. God says in His Word that He disciplines those people whom He loves. Okay? So it's not our job always to discipline people. Therefore, although we keep loving that person who behaves badly towards us, they may be subject to God's discipline in their lives, in order for them to repent and be changed by God's Holy Spirit. So if they claim to be a Christian and God's Holy Spirit is working in their life, then they have to be subject to that work. Now, God's love requires supernatural ability from His Holy Spirit, therefore it is different from human love. So the challenge for all of us in 2020 is to love one another through the power of God's Holy Spirit, but not by human love, supernatural love. Now, the greatest example of supernatural love is Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 6 to 11 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. Okay? So Christ came to die for us while we were in rebellion. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son while we were still sinners, we will certainly be saved through the Lord. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. So as we look back to 2019, if you're a Christian and you love the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, then God has been your friend in 2019 and God will be your friend in 2020. So that's not going to change. What will change is if we ask the Holy Spirit to change and help us to love people with a supernatural love. And that's a very powerful witness that we can have in our lives as we look forward to a new year. That's the first challenge in Hebrews. The second is to practice hospitality. Now, that's kind of a difficult thing for a lot of people. And in my ministry over the years, I've discovered that one of the biggest challenges for itinerant preachers is that there's not many people that volunteer to provide hospitality, to provide a guest room and look after people. Now, when this letter was written, it was essential to provide hospitality to Christians when they were traveling around. There were no hotels, as we know them today, no Airbnbs, no business hotels. The only option was to stay in what they called an inn, and it was a place where you could keep your donkey or your horse, maybe have a room to sleep. However, the people that stayed in these places, they were not very nice, and these places were not very clean. You may have stayed in some bad motels, but these places were very dirty. Now, although today we have hotels and nice places to stay, when we travel around, they cost money, and not everybody has the money needed to provide for these places. Well, this is for Christians who travel around for the purposes of preaching and evangelism. And providing hospitality for a preacher or a teacher or any Christian can be a great blessing. And that's a challenge that I present to you and myself as we look for a new year. I want to give you an example. I want to tell you a true story about a lady who offered hospitality to a traveling preacher. That might encourage you to think about offering hospitality next year. Well, this lady, she was married, she was quite wealthy, and she was able to offer good food and hospitality for God's servant. In fact, whenever this preacher was in the area, he kept coming back to stay with this family because the food was really good. And one day she said to her husband, this preacher keeps stopping by when he's in the area. Why don't we build him a small room in the attic, in the loft, up in the roof? Then it'd be easy for him to drop by any time without disturbing us. Her husband said, that's a great idea. I can never get in the shower room when he comes. Perhaps we'll put a shower in the roof as well. So they built a room in the roof, and the preacher thought, well, this is really great. And one day the preacher said to the lady, well, you've been so kind to me, what can I do for you? Well, the lady was quite wealthy and she didn't really need anything. However, the preacher knew what she really wanted. Now, normally it would have been impossible for her to ask the preacher for this, but she wanted a son. But she was too old to have a child. So the preacher thought, well, I have faith in God. I'm going to pray to God that she'll have a son. In fact, the preacher had so much faith in God's ability to give her a son that he told her that in 1 year's time, she would be holding her own son in her arms. He was a brave preacher. Well, this actually happened 1 year later. But the story doesn't end there. The child grew up, used to help his father on the family farm, and one day the child got very sick and suddenly died. And the woman was absolutely devastated. She and her husband immediately traveled to another town to find the preacher and get her son prayed for. Well, eventually they found the preacher, returned to the lady's home. The preacher arrived at the lady's home, went into the room where her son lay dead, and the preacher was very sad, but he cried to God. He didn't give up. He earnestly prayed for the child to be raised from the dead. In fact, he lay on top of him praying for a long time. Eventually, the child came back to life. It was an amazing miracle, and the woman was very happy about what God did in answer to the preacher's prayer. But the story continues. The preacher was made aware that there was going to be a 7-year famine coming to the area and where the woman lived. So the preacher advised her to escape to another area where she would be safe and get food. Well, she trusted the preacher, left all her possessions in the land, and went away to another land for 7 years. But that's not all. The story continues. When she returned to her own land after the 7-year famine, somebody had taken over her house and occupied all of her land. However, the preacher had connections with the king, and soon all of her land and property was restored to her. And that's not all. The story continues. The king arranged that the money made by selling the produce on her land over 7 years would be given to her to help her start a family business. What a wonderful story. I know it's true because it's found in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 37, and 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 to 6. And all the lady did was offer hospitality to a traveling preacher. It just happened that that traveling preacher was Elisha, who had a double portion of the Holy Spirit of God. Wow. I wonder what would happen if you offered hospitality next year to a preacher. Who knows? Now, I'm not going to promise you the same blessing as the woman in the story, but we'll say that you will be a blessing to the person whom you offer hospitality, especially if they're one of God's preachers and teachers. Not only will you be a blessing to them, but they will be a blessing to you. Now, I know it's difficult to offer hospitality, especially if you have a 1LDK and you've got nowhere to put them. But if you have even a small guest room, I'm sure that you can bless somebody one day next year. Now, I know Wendy and myself have been privileged with a large house up a mountain in Ecoma. Now, I don't think we've entertained angels, and some people we've entertained have not been very angelic. Nevertheless, in the main, it's been a blessing for us to entertain and provide guests, and the guests have been a blessing to us. However, what I must say is the McKenna Hotel will be closed during February, because we're preparing to go back to the UK, but opens again in England next August. So if you are around in England, do come and see us. And we don't have a small room in the loft, but we do have a small guest room, and you're very welcome. So there's the challenge for next year. Challenge for me to offer hospitality, to receive hospitality, and bless God's servants as they travel around. Number 3, verse 3, support Christian people in prison and those who are mistreated. In the New Living Translation, it says, remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Well, that's what they call empathy rather than sympathy. As Christians, we're part of a very large family, and when somebody is hurting in that family, we also hurt through God's Holy Spirit. Now, this connection of this identifying the hurt is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not natural to be affected by the unfortunate circumstances of people we don't know. That's not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. God's Holy Spirit connects us with God's family, and we must help them if we can. There are missionary societies, and they focus all of their attention in countries where Christians are in prison for their faith. Now, it's interesting, it's not in the translation, but the new Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, actually gave a speech. And in that speech, he talked about Christmas. He talked about Christians celebrating around the world. He said, but we mustn't forget those Christians who are imprisoned their faith and are in prison today. You don't expect that from a secular prime minister. But he was challenging the Christians and the people in the UK to love and care, support those other Christians that are in prison. So Boris Johnson didn't read my sermon beforehand, although he could have, who knows. But he's bang up to date. As Christians, we must concern ourselves with other Christians who are in prison and going through difficult circumstances. That's something that we need to think about next year. We're very close here to North Korea, and that's one of the worst places for Christians to live. How can we help them next year? Maybe when I go to Korea in a week's time, I'll discover what they're doing there to support people in North Korea. Number four, the challenge for next year is to keep sexually pure. In verse 4, we have a challenge to married men and a challenge to women to keep faithful in their marriage. We're told that God will judge those who commit adultery. Now, King David was a faithful king, but he committed adultery, and he was judged very harshly by God for this. If you read his story, you can see he had a really rough time. Now, it's important for husbands and wives to go on a date at least once a month or once a week, if that's possible, in 2020. Now, it may be that you've, like me, you've been married 42 years and didn't go on a date, but of course, it's really important that husbands and wives keep their marriages in a faithful and loving way. Now, husbands, purpose to take your wives out once a month for a date in 2020, or once a week if you can. Try to please them and do something that they will enjoy, even if it's not what you like. Okay? That's the challenge. That when we're married, we have to do things that please our partner, but we may not like them, but we can get to like them. Now for the wives. Do you know what the Bible says about wives? If you are a godly wife, you will be physically attractive. People spend a lot of money on makeup and all these beautiful things to make themselves beautiful, but if you're a godly wife, you will be physically attractive to a godly husband and emotionally attractive to your husband. So having said that, wives should make the best of their appearance to seek to please their husbands. And if you want any advice on how to improve your love life, please read the Song of Songs in the Bible. It comes after Ecclesiastes and just before Isaiah. If you read it in the New Living Translation, then it puts it very well. So all the advice you need is in the Bible. Now, if wives and husbands seek to please each other and make the effort in their relationship, then there's certainly less chance of adultery. And I know adultery comes when the flesh, the sinful life takes over. But if your marriage is working well, then you have no need to look elsewhere. So purpose to keep your marriage relationship fresh and flourishing by going on dates on a regular basis. Number five, trust God to provide what you need financially, verses 5-6. Now, the first challenge in these verses is not to love money, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6-11 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. So, in other words, as we look forward to next year, what we have is what God has given us, and we need to be content with that. For he brought nothing into the world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we should be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in their destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. The writer of the Hebrews says that we need to be satisfied with what we have, because that is God's provision for our needs. So what you have, however small it is, that's what God has provided for you, and you need to be satisfied with that. He quotes from Psalm 27, and he quotes from Psalm 118. So as we look forward to 2020, we also, as believers in Christ and as children of God, can trust him to supply what we need. God will supply what you need, not what you want. But sometimes we don't very much. It says, support and respect your church leaders, verse 7. And remember, this is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're being disrespectful to your church leaders, in our case, any church council member, OIC, or even the pastor, then you're certainly not displaying the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit to pray for and respect those who are over you and who are looking out for your spiritual life. Number 7, remember that Jesus Christ never changes. Verse 8. There will be changes in 2020, but Jesus Christ will never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's a wonderful truth. Everything in the Bible that the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ and what he's done in the past is true, and that's never going to change. The person of Jesus Christ, as he relates to you today, will never change. He'll still be the same. The Bible teaching about Jesus in the future is truth, and that will never change. People do change, but Jesus never. Glory to his. What a wonderful encouragement is as we look forward to a new year, that Jesus will never change. Number 8, finally, don't be deceived by false teaching. Trust in God's grace, verse 9. Now, false teaching about how to live the Christian life, what to believe about God in Jesus, has been around for 2,000 years. There's always been false teachers. And the way to stand firm against false teaching is to know the truth for yourself. That is the way. By knowing and believing and remaining to what the Bible teaches about God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, you are less likely to be influenced by false teaching. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, Christian doctrine, that's what the Bible teaches in any subject, is very important. So in 2020, why not read through a free book, which you can get on the internet, called The Great Doctrines of the Bible, by someone called Evans. Now, if you read it through, look up all the verses, probably take at least a year. It took 2 years for me to work through this at Bible College by attending lectures, 1985 to 87. Now, I still have the book 35 years later, and I wouldn't part with it. It's the one book that I've always kept and taken around the world with me. I brought it to Japan and back twice. And recently, when we studied about angels, I read lots of other books about angels and the doctrine of angels, but it was much clearer in this book, and much simpler and much easier to follow. So I recommend The Great Doctrines of the Bible for reading this year and looking up the verses and just feeding yourself with the Word of God on various subjects. It starts with God, then Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, angels, all sorts of things come along, and you'll be edified in your soul. There are lots of false cults about in Japan. Beware. There are lots of professing Christians and preachers who may teach and preach, not teach and preach the truth. Beware of these people too. Beware of the internet. The internet is a false teacher's fishing ground. You go on the internet and you ask a question, the Jehovah's Witness will come up with the answer, or the Mormons will come up, or somebody else will come up, and you'll think, you'll start reading it, this is not right. So be very careful about false teachers in 2020. We can be rich spiritually in 2020 if we know God's grace in our life. We can be poor spiritually if we don't really know God's grace in our lives. Now, what does it mean to know God's grace in your life? Well, it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is living in your heart, He will show you God's grace and what it means in your life now and in the future. Never lose sight of the grace of God in your life. If you're not a Christian, then you will never know about God's grace in your heart. This is something supernatural, only revealed as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not trust in Jesus today? You'll never regret taking a step of faith and believing what the Bible teaches about Jesus. That's the most important thing that you will learn next year. It is a gospel of grace and not of works. It says in Ephesians 2, but God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. For He raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Jesus Christ. So God can point us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Jesus Christ. So God saves you by His grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the things that He has planned for us long ago. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that as we look forward to a new year, it's all about God's grace. It's not about us. We are just instruments in God's plan for the future. And we do pray, Father, that we will not only live by grace, but we will share God's grace, and we'll depend upon the supernatural, dynamic Holy Spirit. And Lord, if we have yet to be born again, yet to believe in Jesus, then maybe we need to do that today so we can start a new year knowing and loving Jesus in a deep and personal way. There's nothing that we can do to win God's favor because God has already done it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us as we look forward to a new year, not only just to be reminded of God's grace in our lives, but to deeply depend upon God's Holy Spirit for all that we need to do. So strengthen us and help us and launch us forth into a new year by God's grace. Help us to take on board some of these things. We may not be practicing hospitality, but we might be challenged to do that, and we will be a blessing to others. Help us to keep a tight rein on our spiritual life, walking in step with God's Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.